been studying a great deal about faith in this particular series. Great deal. We've talked about faith, what that is. That's my personal belief in God and in Christ. And we've talked about where that faith comes from, and that is the faith, the Word of God. And then we've talked about faithfulness, and that is how I live according to the faith, what I do with my faith. When I put it into practice, I implement it into my daily life. As I live by those teachings of God on a consistent basis, that is evidence of my faithfulness. Certainly, it's an evidence of my faith, but that is faithfulness. That is living faithfully. Now, there's no question that faithfulness is key to my ultimate eternal destiny and salvation. Not that I can make myself be saved or that I can obligate God to save me. I'm saved by His grace. But He does expect faithfulness from me. What is the quickest way to become unfaithful? In our last study in this particular series, we talked about how can I stay faithful. So it might seem odd to somebody if they say, well, you talked about how can we stay faithful. What are you talking about? What is the quickest way to become unfaithful? Well, you know, we cannot expect eternal life in heaven with God in Christ if we do not live faithfully before them in this world. Remember what Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10 at the very end of the verse. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. All the way until death, stay faithful. And then the result, he says, is I will give you the crown of life. Again, not that we earn it, not that we obligate God to give it to us, but that's what God expects of us. That's our response to his grace. Faithfulness is a lifetime walk. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. He who endures to the end, Jesus said, will be saved. 1 Corinthians 4 verses 1 and 2. The apostle Paul wrote, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. That one be found faithful. A requirement. James chapter 1 and verse 12, the admonition. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now that's parallel to what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 13. He who endures to the end shall be saved. So James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Obviously with the understanding that he does not succumb to that temptation. That he does not live a lifestyle of sin. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. What is evidence of our love to Christ? Obviously, faithfulness is key in that and central to that love for him. Faithfulness is a lifestyle of dedicated commitment to Christ. As Paul put it, talking about his own life and his own commitment and dedication, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He was so dedicated, so committed, so focused, his life was turned over to his Lord, and he lived his life for Christ on a day in and day out basis. Now, faithfulness. And as I said, in our last section of this study, we talked about how can I stay faithful? I know that's a challenge for a lot of us. In fact, it's a challenge for every single one of us. Some of us may have been able to grow more spiritually by this point in our lives, and maybe we are more focused and we see things in a clearer perspective spiritually. And others, maybe they're not quite to that point yet. Maybe others are just new Christians. Maybe others are struggling, even though they've been Christians for a very long time, with how to stay faithful. Well, sometimes inverse reasoning helps us to better analyze how to achieve a desired goal. By recognizing what will lead to unfaithfulness, we can better be equipped to guard against those dangers and to live a lifestyle of faithfulness to God. If these are the dangers and we recognize them, then we can steer away from them. we can stay clear of them. We need to know what those dangers are, or at least some fundamental aspects of them. So with that in mind, what is the quickest way to become unfaithful? What's the quickest way to become unfaithful? Very important for us to understand. First, be sure you don't read the Bible. Stay out of your Bible. Don't get into it. Do not try to increase your Bible knowledge in any way. None whatsoever. The scriptures, you see, will guide us in God's will for our lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy, and he reminds him that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, God's Word, in other words, through which are able to make you wise for salvation. The Scriptures teach us how to become a Christian, how to live a Christian life. So the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, or the sense being mature spiritually, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, the Scriptures provide that kind of instruction and guidance and insight for us. So if you don't want to stay faithful, if you want to know the quickest way to unfaithfulness, then stay out of God's Word. Don't get into it. Studying His Word, you see, diligently is key to standing approved before God. As Paul put it in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent, or the King James Version translates it, study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and on what basis? Rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, he has studied enough that he can understand the truth of God's word and he can apply it properly to his life. God's word teaches us what to believe, and it teaches us why to believe it, and it equips us to be able to share those teachings with others. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter's exhorted, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I need to know what I believe. I need to know why I believe it. How do I find that out? How do I learn those important truths? Only from God's Word. So, again, we want to make sure if we're trying to figure out what is the quickest way to unfaithfulness, stay out of God's Word. Learning the teachings of God's Word is basic to the development of faith within us. As Paul put it in Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Or more succinctly, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It's not magical, it's not mystical, it doesn't just float around in the air. It's not like a germ or a virus and suddenly it lands on you and you're infected and now you got faith. No, faith develops as we study God's Word, as we learn those teachings, understand them, believe them, and make the proper applications to our lives. That's real saving faith. No wonder Paul admonished us to give attention to reading God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And again, doctrine just means teaching. So important. The Word is so pivotal to our faith and faithfulness. So, stay out of the Bible. Don't read it. Don't listen to it being taught from anybody, anywhere, by any means, and you'll naturally become unfaithful. It'll be a natural. Number two, don't pray. Be sure you don't pray. Don't pray to God, because prayer puts you in touch with and under the influence of your Heavenly Father. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, God says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Prayer puts us in touch with God, the Creator, our Heavenly Father. You can bring all of your needs, all of your problems, all of your concerns before God through prayer, and He'll listen to you. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 tells us about His awesome and an unimaginable power. Paul says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God has power, ability that's beyond our imagination. And so when you recognize that, and then you couple that with praying to him, 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. We can pray to him anytime. He hears us. He's there. He's paying attention. He knows our needs even before we ask. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, John goes on and says, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Wow, what a blessing in prayer. What a blessing. You can pray for wisdom to know what to do and how to do it. James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. How many times might you wonder, how should I proceed in this particular matter? What decision should I make? You can pray for wisdom to God. And again, asking according to his will, living faithfully before him, it will be given, James says. God is always there. God always cares. God will always listen. You can pray to him anytime. And indeed, Paul says, pray without ceasing. In everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18. Prayer is so important. It's so central to faith and faithfulness. So, don't pray to God. Just don't do it. In fact, cut yourself off from all direct communication with God, and you'll almost certainly then become unfaithful. Quickest way to unfaithfulness. Don't get into God's word. Don't pray to God. Separate yourself from him and any communication with him and from him, and you can just about bank on it. You're going to become unfaithful. Well, number three, don't attend church services. No, stay away. Do not meet with your brothers and sisters in Christ to worship God and study his word. Because you see, worshiping with the church will strengthen your faith. It's an automatic. It's part of what is designed into our worship as we come together as the church, part of our relationship and fellowship. Being together with the brothers and sisters in Christ as we gather together as the church to worship God and study his word, you see, that will allow you to draw on the spiritual strength of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. How can I stay faithful? How can I grow stronger in my faith? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How can I encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ to be stronger in their faith, more focused? And then obviously, I can gain from their spiritual strength. How? How can all of that take place? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Wow. Strength that is there for my taking, for my grabbing and my absorbing, just by being together with my brothers and sisters in Christ as we come together, gather together as the church to worship God and study his word. Again, it's a natural. It's a natural. Well, the songs sung in worship are designed to praise God, certainly. Some of them are actually prayers, if you look at the way they're written. But those songs also teach and encourage those worshiping God through those songs. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, I'm singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. There's the praise. There's the communication from the words of those songs to God the Father, the Creator, the ruler of the universe. But also I'm speaking to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm speaking to all of the visitors who might be with us in any given occasion of worshiping God. As we're singing those songs, I'm speaking to them and they're speaking to me through the words of those songs. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, those songs are sung to the Lord, but also they are filled with meaning, with instruction, with teaching. And as we sing those songs, we're actually teaching and admonishing one another through the words of those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All of that takes place, you see, as we gather together to worship God as the church. Worshiping God with the church can give you great encouragement. Psalm 122 in verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now he was talking about being able to go to the tabernacle. But we can certainly understand the principle and apply it to ourselves as Christians as we get ready to go to the gathering of the church, wherever that gathering might be, to worship God. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Great encouragement can be gained just by being together as the church, as we worship God together, as the Lord's body. What a blessing it is to be able to have the church and be able to be a part of it. So, consistently stay away when the church gathers. When the church comes together to worship God, do not be present, and you'll be guaranteed to become unfaithful. Again, it will be a given. You'll be guaranteed to become unfaithful. Just stay away from all of the assemblies. Never come together with the church to worship God, to study together as the body, and you'll be guaranteed, almost without question, to become unfaithful. Well, number four, be sure that you do not get involved in any work or activity of the church. As a member of the body, as one of the Lord's people, do not get involved in any work or activity of the church. As Christians, you see, we're created for good works. We go back to that classic passage on salvation by grace in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and I'm afraid that many people may stop at verse 9. They do not go on through verse 10. Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But the next verse goes right along with it. He goes on and says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're supposed to be a working church. We're supposed to be working Christians. God not only has created us for good works, but he's even designed the works ahead of time that we should walk in them, that we should participate in them, that we should be a part of those works, actively involved. You're supposed to be zealous for good works. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul wrote, who gave himself, speaking of Christ, for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. That's the church. Zealous for good works. Now don't lose yourself in the anonymity of your identity with the church and say, well, the church is supposed to be involved in good works. Who's the church? That's you. It's not some, unidentifiable entity out there. That's you. You are the church. You're supposed to be zealous for good works. Good works benefit you spiritually, and you're supposed to be purposefully focused on maintaining good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful. Now look at that. You're paying attention. You're being careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. In other words, they're for your benefit. They're going to help you in your spiritual walk. So we need to be careful when we start saying, I don't need to be involved in this. Somebody else will do that. Even to the point where somebody says, we don't need to be together for all these potluck meals and all that. I can't eat that kind of stuff. I don't necessarily benefit. What about your brothers and sisters in Christ? They may benefit from you being there. Even if you don't eat, even if you just drink water or something. Just having you there can be a benefit to them and strengthen and encourage them. And just seeing you involved in whatever it might be, making a visit to a hospital or going visiting somebody who's visited with us and seeing, hey, we're sure glad you were there. Come back. Would you like to study further? Would you like to get into a Bible correspondence course through the mail? Whatever it might be, cutting the grass, whatever it might be. It's an encouragement for members to see other members involved in the work and activities of the church. And we're supposed to be about good works. The scriptures are clear in that and repeated in that. Works are one of the vital signs of faith. I got faith. What does James say? Show me your faith by your work, without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Getting involved in the good works and activities of the church will strengthen your faith. You need to be involved because you need stronger faith. That's what we're talking about, faithfulness. You're not going to be able to be strong in your faith removed from key sources of that strength. You need to be renewed in your strength on a continual basis. James says in James chapter 2 and verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Are you involved? Are you working? Verse 20, but do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Are you working? Are you involved? Verse 22, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Is your faith coupled with works? Because that's how it's made perfect, James says, at least one way. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What are you involved in? What are you engaged in as a work and activity of the church, or as works and activities of the church? How actively involved are you? I know we're busy. I'm busy. All of us are busy. We're undoubtedly, I suspect, the busiest culture and society the world has ever seen. But remember, if the only way the devil can keep you ineffective spiritually as a Christian is to keep you busy doing things that on the surface are good things, needed things, but not the most needful things, not the things that will keep you in active growing faith before God, then he'll keep you busy doing all kinds of things. Running the kids here and there, getting involved in civic organizations that have nothing to do with your spiritual life, and on and on and on. Washing the car and washing the dishes and cutting the grass at home and doing clothes, all of that needs to be done. But the fact is, when every one of us dies, almost certainly the car is going to need to be washed. And the grass is probably going to need to be cut. And I can almost guarantee you there's going to be dirty clothes in the hamper that need to be washed. The floors are probably going to need to be scrubbed. Dusting is going to need to be done in the living room, in the bedroom, and all around the house. You see, all of that stuff is always there. But we need to live in such a way. We need to live an active Christian life to be ready for the Lord whenever he comes. And we need to be ready to meet him if we die before he comes. We need to be ready that day and at that time. So, if works, if activities, if being involved in the work and activities of the church is so vital to your faithfulness, don't get involved in the works and activities of the church. Avoid them. Make all the excuses you can. Just don't even think about them. Just walk away. Do not volunteer. Say no whenever you're asked to teach a class or whatever it might be, because after all, somebody else surely will take care of that. And you're busy. Don't get involved. Avoid all of that. Let somebody else do the visiting. And you'll leave yourself more vulnerable to become unfaithful. Well, the quickest way to become unfaithful, you see, is to completely, carelessly ignore your faith. Just ignore your faith, and you'll become unfaithful. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, what is the exhortation? If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's active. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. A focus, that's active. If you want to become unfaithful, don't focus. Don't be active. Just carelessly and completely ignore your faith. Do nothing to nurture and strengthen your faith. Do not read your Bible. Do not pray. Do not be at church services. Do not get involved in any of the works or activities of the church. And you can be sure that you will become unfaithful. Unfaithful. Now, knowing that, you can take positive action to ensure your faithfulness, to grow stronger in your faith. If you know these dangers, you can avoid them. You can say, okay, I don't want to fall into that pit. I don't want to get into that practice because I want to be faithful. Well, pay attention. Stay focused. Be diligent to build strong faith. It doesn't just happen accidentally. You've got to put yourself into it. Pay attention. Stay focused. Be diligent. Read your Bible regularly. Pray to God throughout the day, every day. Stay in touch with Him. Stay in communion with Him. Be at all of the services of the church that you possibly can be at. Yes, all of them that you can possibly be at, because there's strength to be gained there. And there's dedication and there's service to be rendered on your part by being together. And get involved and stay involved in the church's work and activities. What is better? What is better, being involved in some civic activity, as good as it might be, or being engaged in service to the Lord as a member of His church? Get involved. Stay involved. Follow these principles. And you could probably think of some others, but these are basic and fundamental to staying faithful. And to ignore these things virtually guarantees unfaithfulness. So you know the dangers. You can guard against them. Reading your Bible, praying regularly, being in all the services, being involved as a member of the Lord's church. If you're here this morning and you've never become a Christian, first step you need to take is get into God's Word and learn what it is to be a Christian and how to become one. If you know that, now if you don't know that, we'd love to study with you. We'd love to make a way for you to study. If you want to do it on your own, all you have to do is ask us. But if you know what you need to do and you're ready to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, then you can be baptized into Him this very morning, at which point the blood that He shed on the cross is still completely effective to cleanse you of the guilt of your sins. And you come into salvation through Him. If you're a Christian who needs the prayers of the church, just step forward and let us know, for whatever it might be, and we'd love to pray with you, humbly, but also excited to have that opportunity and privilege to pray with you and for you. If you need to talk privately, please get with one of us. We're here and we care and we want to help. If you need to come, won't you come right now as we stand together and say.